welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Cavalli. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli and I have been bringing you this hard-hitting news and views program that many of you know and trust since October 2003. We wanted to take a minute tonight to remember those who are in Texas and those southern states with the power outages and the very cold, unusually cold conditions. And we just keep them in our prayers. We ask all of you who are listening to keep them in your prayers as well. We understand that a lot of the wind turbines froze up, which is ironic, since they were supposed to be a clean energy source. So we just pray that to God that he will restore the power and get everything back to good conditions for those people down south.
And take care of the families and protect their lives.
Yes.
Lou, you and I remember in 1994, terrible ice storm here in Maryland. And it was at the same time I was exceptionally crippled from Lyme disease. And we couldn't really leave the house and we really didn't have water to drink. That was a dreadful time. I was thinking about that today, that a lot of those families are probably in dire straits. So we do ask you listeners to pray.
Yes, we do. Tonight, we are continuing our tour inside the insane asylum.
Yes, Lou. America in the time of Biden's bedlam. Once again, we're walking down the hall of death. We're inside the insane asylum. But, Lou, what's that noise? It sounds like something wailing, screaming, screeching, almost like a banshee.
I don't know. It seems to be coming from behind that red door in the corridor adjoining this one, where you see the barbed wire circling it. It's a sign. Let me get closer.
Maybe I can read it.
And maybe I can, well, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you can read
let's
it.
Let's both look. Yes, edge up to it, Lou.
All right.
But be careful. That screaming and wailing is only getting louder by the minute.
Elizabeth, the first sign is a warning. No visitors. Off limits. Dangerous area. Let me creep up just a little further and read what's printed directly on the door. It says, attention, attention, doctors. Medicate these failed figures every 2 hours. We need quiet.
And, well, you know, what does it say on the door? Doesn't it have a label? I think I see a label. Why, it says the remnants of the impeachment. The impeachment figures. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. These are, I guess, the craziest of the crazy. My gosh. So I don't know if Pelosi's in there herself, but these are really the lunatics of the insane asylum. Yeah. Oh, gosh. We do need some quiet, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So let's go on down the hall of death, Lou, back out of the world of satire to the real situation in the world of COVID-19. Remember, Lou, NIH head Francis Collins, and he's the one who helped figure out the human genome. You know, he must be a genius. Told Time magazine that we'll probably have more COVIDs, up to even COVID number 24. How gruesome is that, and how gruesome is everything?
Well, Elizabeth, here's a new headline from naturalnews.com, February the 17th. It was by Lance D. Johnson. The headline, young nurse suffers from hemorrhage and brain swelling after second dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. A 28-year-old healthcare worker from the Swedish-American hospital in Beloit, Wisconsin, was recently admitted to the ICU just 5 days after receiving a second dose of Pfizer's experimental mRNA vaccine. The previously healthy young woman was pronounced brain dead after cerebral hemorrhaging, confirmed by an angiography, and the hemorrhaging was a severe stroke in her brainstem. Her family members confirmed that she was, quote, breaking out in rashes, unquote, after the vaccine. She also suffered from sudden migraine headaches and got sick after taking the second dose of the vaccine. At the very end, she lost the ability to speak and went unconscious. The migraines, nausea, and loss of speech were all symptoms of her brain bleed and brain swelling, something her family did not understand at the time, and something nobody would expect after vaccination. While on the life support, neurologists used angiography to image the brain. That is to image the damage inside the brain. They found a subarachnoid hemorrhage, where a bulging blood vessel burst in the brain, bleeding out in the space between the brain and the tissue covering the brain. The ensuing swelling cut off oxygen to the brain and caused brain death. On February 10, 2021, Sarah reportedly had no brain activity. Some of the women's organs are now being procured so they can be donated to other people around the world. Doctors warn FDA about COVID vaccines causing autoimmune attacks in the heart and brain. The Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System has captured 5 permanent disabilities in Wisconsin, 58 ER visits, and 11 deaths in just 1 month.
And Lou, let me interject.
Yes.
That when that woman was essentially brain dead, it was just 8 days from when you listeners are hearing us, February 18th. Did she die?
Well, I take it she did. If that, considering donating some organs, she must have.
Yes, I guess then it really led to total death.
I think so.
Pick up that story.
Yes, it says this is the first case in Wisconsin of someone under 44 years of age suffering from severe COVID-19 side effects and dying. There are now more than 1,170 deaths recorded in the U.S. related to the experimental mRNA vaccines, a reality that the FDA and CDC continue to ignore. And now we have something else. Here's another one. It's not just the elderly, 19-year-old in hospital ICU after second dose of Pfizer coronavirus vaccine. This was dated Thursday, February the 4th, 2021. By Lance D. Johnson, Natural News. One of the more serious issues with the Pfizer and Moderna coronavirus vaccines is their propensity to cause inflammation of the cardiovascular system. The vaccine causes an antigen-specific immune response that may additionally cause an inflammatory immune response along the endothelial lining of blood vessels. If natural virus or viral antigens are present in the endothelial lining of blood vessels at the time of vaccination, the recipient's immune system may be forced to act the body's own, that is, attack the body's own cardiovascular system, leading to inflammation and potential cardiovascular events. The damage is more often observed in the elderly, but young people are not immune to this type of vaccine injury. In fact, a healthy 19-year-old was admitted to the ICU after the second dose of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine caused inflammation of his heart muscle, that is, myocarditis. Healthy young man suffers from myocarditis 5 days after second dose of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine. The Terem Emergency Medical Clinic in Israel has not confirmed that the vaccine was the sole cause of the sudden and unexpected inflammation of the man's heart. While medical authorities are slow to confirm the culprit, the severe injury occurred immediately after vaccination, and he was diagnosed with myocarditis only 5 days after this vaccination. This 19-year-old man was also a previously healthy individual. He had no history of cardiovascular issues. He is not alone. The U.S. National Institutes of Health has reported multiple cases of myocarditis after COVID-19 vaccination. Dr. Abdulhadi Faroja, a Terem medical director, said that the young man's symptoms started immediately after the vaccination, but he wasn't hospitalized with full-blown myocarditis until 5 days later. After receiving the second dose of Pfizer's experimental vaccine, this is the experimental mRNA inoculation, the young man experienced an accelerated heartbeat, shortness of breath, and sharp pains in his left arm. Terem's Dr. Badani Bahia confirmed the sudden reaction. Blood tests confirmed that the man's heart was severely inflamed. The doctors are suspicious that the vaccine caused an inflammatory reaction in the young man's body. After receiving treatment, the young man was transferred to Shamir Medical Center in Zirfin for further treatment and evaluation. If myocarditis is left untreated, it can lead to cardiac arrhythmia and death. Spontaneous cardiovascular events could become an issue long after vaccination. As the Pfizer vaccine's unique mRNA sequence continues to encode for spike proteins in the cells throughout the body, a precarious situation is created. If a person is infected by natural coronaviruses in the future, the immune system will likely attack these cells with aggression, causing inflammation in the areas of the body where coronaviruses attach. Because SARS-CoV-2 readily attacks humans through the vascular endothelium, through the ACE2 receptor, vaccine recipients are at risk of developing cardiovascular inflammation and complications long after they are vaccinated. The new mRNA technology trains the body's cells to produce the spike proteins, but it is unknown how long the cells will continue this stimulation. Complications like myocarditis and thromboembolism, that is, formation of a blood clot inside a blood vessel, could occur long after vaccination if the person is later exposed to the SARS-CoV-2 virus and it permeates the vascular endothelium. Is this the reason why health authorities around the world are warning the recently vaccinated population to continue wearing multiple masks and avoiding other people? Why aren't health authorities more forthcoming about the serious vaccine injury? Better yet, why does this sordid scientific experiment continue to receive emergency authorization around the world?
Yes, Lou, and even from other causes, myocarditis is nothing to fool around with. My own father, when I was a freshman in college, went finally to the doctor. Like me, he didn't really like to go to the doctor that much, but this was a family friend, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Charlie, if you don't go to the hospital today, you're going to be dead." So he listened that time, and apparently later it was probably determined that a strep throat had led to this issue that became pericarditis, then myocarditis. And we were able to visibly see a man who had been very, very strong physically, who bested his playmates when he was a child, until one time they played horse, and they pulled a wagon and a lot of people or something like that. It was something like Jack LaLanne, practically, and he was 12 years old, and he spent the next week in bed, and his mother feared for his life. And so later, when he had to get his appendix removed, the doctor said, "Did you ever have any heart issues?" And he told the doctor about this, and he said, "Well, we will not give you either. We will do a spinal." So there was this background in his heart, but when he was 48 years old, he was lifting crates of potatoes on his farm, and he said, "I felt something snap when I had put the 10th one up." But we learned later about this strep throat. But what I observed was this man, who had been practically indestructible physically, had to leave his mail route and sit in a chair upstairs and barely move for almost a year. And then, of course, the person he was rather undaunted. He decided he would go back to work. And the doctor said, the cardiologist said, "Well, you're not ready at all." And he did go back to work. But we watched. It took him probably 3 to 4 years. He said, "I rebuilt my heart." So gradually with exercise. And this is for the listeners, too. It's a parable that has always helped me a great deal. When we're going into this regime that we jokingly call Biden's Bedlam, all the jokes are not really very funny, because at this time, however long this regime lasts, we don't have a constitutional republic. But we know as Christians and conservatives, judgment has probably begun on America, and there will be little enclaves of people who try to follow God's righteous laws. And these people will be taken care of by God. They definitely will, if they repent and they keep asking him to guide them to store food, to prepare for emergencies, like those people in Texas. You know, I think some of them would be happy if they had some canned food that has that spring top where you can just open it, put a spoon in, and you could eat. There would be things like that. But at any rate, back to this parable about my father. He was not completely well yet, and he watched by the fence. One of his cows had gotten loose, and it was running to beat the band. And he started to run without remembering his heart problem. He started to chase it. And then he stopped, and he thought he was going to die the next second. And he said, "You know, I just thought, the heck with this worry. You know, whatever's going to be is going to be." And I just decided that that moment, that's the philosophy I would have the rest of my life. And eventually he was healed. greatly. And at age 81, he did have some congestive heart failure, but I took him some COQ10 home. At that time, it was very revolutionary in 1990 at Father's Day. And within a week, he was walking around with color in his face. He got well enough to get out in his fields and work. And 3 days before his death, we have a picture of him sitting by the old spiral staircase in his family home, and he was feeding his cattle. He was living a normal life. So you see, do not let yourself be made ill by worry, because it doesn't matter. These political figures come and go, and this theater goes on, and the horrible evil of the pedophilia at the top, God's going to take care of that. It started to come out under Lynn Wood, and it's out enough that people are a little bit now alerted to this awful thing. And they're going to watch over their children more, all these thousands of children who disappear every year. So I'm just telling you that we love all of you listeners, and we pray for you, and we pray that God will take care of you all. Now, getting right back to these cases, Wisconsin doctor suffered miscarriage after COVID-19 vaccine tweeted number vaccines work. Dr. Sarah Beltran Ponce, MD, is making headlines after suffering a horrific miscarriage following her Wuhan coronavirus vaccination. A 2019 graduate of the Medical College of Wisconsin, Ponce not too long ago completed her residency in radiation oncology. Her She MD profile claims that she is passionate about medical education, public health, and mentorship, particularly for women interested in radiation. Ponce is married with one daughter and was about to have another child when her China virus vaccine changed her plans. Instead of delivering a second healthy baby, Ponce, who boasted on Twitter several weeks prior about being fully vaccinated, suffered what no expectant mother should have to suffer. On January 28th, Ponce announced that she was 14 weeks pregnant and had chosen to get vaccinated for the Wu flu in order to, quote, protect myself, my baby, my family, my patients, and my community. When it's available to you, I encourage you to do the same, Ponce added. Ponce tweeted several more times that same day, explaining that as a physician, she feels a responsibility to protect the cancer patients that I see on a daily basis, especially those who are immunocompromised from their therapies. We should be examples of social distancing, masking, and vaccination, Ponce went on to Virtue Signal. But also, as a human, we all have a responsibility to do what is best for our communities and for each other. Ponce made sure to cite a number of virtue signaling hashtags like vaccines work and we are all here together, which presumably made her feel like she was advocating the right thing for everyone. I've always been open about my motherhood journey in medicine, and it's with a heavy heart that I tell my Med Twitter family that I've suffered a miscarriage at 14 and a half weeks, Ponce tweeted a few days later. My husband and I are devastated, but blessed to have each other and our sweet Eva rest in peace, angel. Ponce then thanked her followers for their compassion and sympathies, expressing deep sadness that, quote, I didn't know was possible to feel, she wrote. The headline here says, pregnant women have no business getting vaccinated for coronavirus. While our hearts go out to Ponce for the pain she suffered, it would appear as though this could have been avoided had Ponce not been vaccinated for Chinese germs. According to the COVID blog, Ponce miscarried just 3 days after receiving either the first or second messenger RNA, mRNA vaccination from either Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna. Ponce did not specify which she received. In fact, Ponce made no mention at all about the vaccination she had just received when announcing her miscarriage on Twitter. Since that time, Ponce has locked down her Twitter account and made it private, probably because people started asking her whether or not she thought the vaccine was responsible. And, of course, the writer here thinks she has a duty to point things out. We don't make judgments like that here on the Divided Kingdom, because each person is created by God with free will, and each person has to answer to a conscience. But The writer does go on to say, "We wish Ponce the best in conceiving another child and hope she will consider the widely known links between vaccines and miscarriage before subjecting another unborn child to the ravages of toxic experimental medical interventions." More of the latest news about Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine damage can be found at Pandemic News.
Next, we go to Great Game India. This title, which occurred on February the 11th, 2021, old people who recovered from COVID-19 but died from the vaccine, raises questions. Deaths of elderly who recovered from COVID-19 but died after the vaccine was administered have raised questions among nursing homes in Kentucky and Arkansas in America. In Kentucky, four seniors died the same day of their vaccination, that is the same day of the vaccination, on December 30th, 2020. Three of the four who passed away reportedly already had had coronavirus prior to getting vaccinated. In Arkansas, four seniors died at a long-term care facility about a week after their vaccination. All tested positive for COVID-19 after vaccination. The deaths are reported in a federal database called VAERS, short for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. According to VAERS reports, the Kentucky deaths occurred on December 30th after vaccinations with the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Scientists differ on whether people who have had coronavirus, like the Kentucky patients, should receive the COVID-19 vaccination at all. Four nursing home deaths in Arkansas occurred after vaccination with a Moderna-manufactured vaccine. All four patients tested positive for COVID-19 after vaccination, according to the VAERS reports. As reported by Great Game India, numerous countries are now being cautious over the vaccine program, with adverse events occurring frequently. South Africa has stopped the AstraZeneca Oxford COVID-19 vaccine program after disappointing results from trial data showed it gave minimal protection against mild to moderate infection caused by the country's dominant coronavirus variant. Switzerland has rejected the AstraZeneca Oxford COVID-19 vaccine due to the lack of sufficient data. Many European countries have decided not to use AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine for people over 65. This decision, as well, was made due to the lack of data available about its effectiveness in elderly people. According to a report by Germany's Standing Vaccination Commission, the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine is only effective 8% in people over 65. According to a new survey, more than half of Americans do not want COVID-19 vaccine. The study has also looked into the concerns among people reluctant to receive the jabs, with 68% of people saying they are worried about the long-term effects of the vaccines.
271 deaths, nearly 10,000 serious adverse reactions from coronavirus vaccines so far. This was Wednesday, February 3rd, Ethan Huff writing at Natural News. The latest government data shows that at least 271 people have died from Wuhan coronavirus vaccines, while another 9,845 have suffered serious adverse events. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, currently shows that 94 people died after getting Moderna's China virus vaccine, while 179 died after getting Pfizer and BioNTech's China virus vaccine. Another person died from a China virus vaccine from an, quote, unknown manufacturer. Seeing as how the VAERS system only picks up about 1% of total vaccine injuries, the true figures are likely much higher. Even these are disturbing, though, especially for a virus with a 99.9%+ survival rate. The VAERS system is updated every Friday with new data on Wu flu vaccine injuries and deaths. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, MedAlert system, however, is down. Based on the information contained in VAERS, we know that most of the deaths caused by Chinese virus vaccines occurred within 48 hours of injection. Most of the remaining deaths occur 3 to 7 days after injection, and in some cases, up to 2 weeks later. This, of course, does not include cases where disease develops, leading to death later. as of this writing, some 25 million Americans have received doses of either the Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna vaccine. President Donald Trump oversaw their emergency approval during the final month of his first term. The jabs are still considered to be experimental and have never been shown to do anything other than make some people feel protected and safe. Beyond that, Wuhan coronavirus vaccines are just toxic placebos. More related news about Chinese virus vaccines and the harm they are causing to the gullible can be found at pandemicnews.com, I suppose that is. CDC still insists coronavirus vaccines are safe and effective. Lou, do you remember how you were the one who discovered at their entranceway there of the CDC, it's like a tombstone?
Yes.
And we saw another picture of it in color. It really does look like that.
It does.
Despite the fact that coronavirus vaccines are at least 50 times more deadly than flu shots, the CDC sees absolutely nothing wrong with their continued use. In fact, the agency issued a statement claiming there is no evidence to suggest a safety problem with these vaccines. Quote, CDC is aware of reports of deaths occurring after administration of COVID-19 vaccines, the agency added in a statement, quote, these deaths are under investigation. From the data, it appears many of these deaths are among nursing home residents who had serious underlying conditions and death was not hastened by the vaccination. We can point out that doctor who got the thrombocytopenia purpura and his blood wouldn't clot and he had zero platelets and he died of a hemorrhage, brain hemorrhage, before they could remove his spleen. He wasn't in the nursing home, Lou. And the 19-year-old you talked about wasn't in the nursing home. And the young doctor with the miscarriage, she wasn't in a nursing home either. But
no,
I guess.
And the one I started the talk off with today, that young lady who had the brain hemorrhage, she wasn't.
She wasn't in a nursing home either.
I think she was 28, wasn't she?
I think that's what you said. So, the same is also true of positive cases of the Wuhan coronavirus. The vast majority of those that produce symptoms occurring in very old people with pre-existing health conditions. This is still the CDC line, you see. The government is completely ignoring this factoid, though. Meanwhile, much of the country remains under perpetual lockdowns and mandatory mask policies. Now they want two masks, remember? Two masks.
Yes.
But you don't dare have two N95s. You can have a cloth one over it, maybe. And bandanas, I don't think, are accepted. Even as the rest of the world is opening back up for business, we're back to the article now. In a January 27th presentation, CDC official Tom Shimabukuro, who serves on the agency's advisory committee on immunization practices, stated that any adverse events or deaths that occur following Wuhan coronavirus vaccination are purely coincidental. The official position of the CDC is that there are zero risks associated with Chinese coronavirus vaccines. Despite the mortality rate being high and substantial, Shimabukuro says all injuries and deaths caused by the jabs are, quote, temporally associated coincidental events. Now, I have to ask, those doctors who were colleagues of that doctor, they did not think this was a coincidence to find their friend with zero platelets. They re-ran the test manually because they thought it might be more accurate, and he had one platelet, when normal was 150,000 and on up. Use the brains that God gave you. And this warning program is coming to you because we struggle to pay our bills to be on WWCR. You can hear us there on Thursday evenings at WWCR.com and on the shortwave 4.840 megahertz, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Thursday evenings, repeating on Saturday mornings on the frequency 7.490 megahertz. We're also on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. At 5 p.m. Mondays, repeating at 11 p.m., we're on KStarTalkRadio.com. KStarTalkRadio.com. Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, as Sundays, repeating at 10 a.m. Eastern. So if any of you would like to help us pay the bill to stay on the air, we do need some help. We will soon be needing to pay for March. You can send a little cash you can send a money order. But if you write a check, it must be made out directly to WWCR, not to us. We can't take personal checks. You can send it, even some postage stamps help us, to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, and the town is Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's P.O. Box 28, Lou Caverly, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Some of you really do appreciate that you don't have to listen to interminable commercials. You get a lot more information in our 1 hour than a lot of big broadcasters give you in 3 hours. And we don't have any association with any of the commercials you hear. But we do say, we do think it is important that you look around for good food, canned food that you can keep a while, and maybe long-term food, because emergencies are going to advance. With Dr. Francis Collins saying we're going to have COVID-24, my gosh, Lou.
That means we're going to have, what, 5 in a row?
I guess. Well, how many years that will cover, I don't know. Now, back to what the FDA is doing in all this, back at this article from Natural News by Ethan Huff. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, is of course in on the scam, having indicated that there are no plans to create a database for tracking post-vaccination deaths caused by Chinese virus injections. Well, we remember that parents can't get satisfaction when their children are left with autism. There's a secret vaccine injury court run by Rod Rosenstein's sister, and maybe somebody gets some money out of there. We don't know. The article goes on to say, it's important to remember that many adverse events, including death, following immunization are often coincidental. Now, this is the FDA. These are the words. We heard the CDC, and now we've got the same thing. Coincidence. Okay, let's hear that again. It's important to remember that many adverse events, including death, following immunization are often coincidental. That means that while an adverse event may happen after getting vaccinated, the vaccine is not always the cause of it. A spokesperson from the agency insists, when combined with other protective measures, vaccines are one of the best tools we have to fight the pandemic.
Elizabeth, you said 11 was the number in numerology of judgment.
Yes.
On that very date, February 11th, this unsettling article came out. As we walk down the asylum, Hall of Death, this is really eerie. The title, Fauci demands America use children as human guinea pigs the COVID vaccine experiments.
Oh.
Natural News, Thursday, February the 11th. It was written by Lance D. Johnson. Dr. Anthony Fauci is staying true to his mission and is ready to use children as human guinea pigs for coronavirus vaccine experiments while ignoring the harm the vaccines are doing to a subset of the elderly population already. Quote, hopefully, by the time we get to the late spring, early summer, we will have children being able to be vaccinated, according to the FDA's guidance, said Dr. Fauci, the nation's highest paid voice of coercion and control. The only problem with Fauci's demand, the FDA has no data to justify child exploitation. The drug companies cannot enroll enough adolescents in their experimental trials. All available data shows that the infection is not deadly for children either. The vaccine companies have struggled to get parental consent in order to use children for the new mRNA vaccine experiments. Moderna publicly admitted that they can't convince enough parents of children 12 and under to enroll in the experimental trials. Quote, we as an industry cannot just put out a vaccine without testing it, said Dr. Maria Ryan at the Cottage Hospital in New Hampshire. She went on to say, and we have to have volunteers to test, unquote. This requires parental consent, something Dr. Fauci would like to bypass. Dr. Fauci's reckless experiment and desperate ploy to exploit children. Dr. Fauci is recklessly pushing vaccines on children without adequate research in place, without adequate informed consent. He continues to blindly believe that widespread injection of experimental mRNA is the only way to eradicate SARS-CoV-2 and achieve herd immunity. Fauci believes the experimental vaccines will stop viral replication and viral transmission, slowing down the virus's ability to mutate. On the contrary, Medical interventions are known to put pressure on competing pathogens, forcing the virus or bacteria to adapt more rapidly in order to survive among human hosts. Under pressure to survive, pathogens will evolve new traits. As SARS-CoV-2 spread rapidly, it became endemic in most parts of the world. The infection is constantly maintained at a baseline level in a geographic area. As more immunity is achieved, mortality rates fall. In a way, the virus becomes attenuated, that is, weakened, throughout the population as human immune systems adapt to their environment. The reality of coronavirus infections is that they are inevitable. The human immune system was designed to adapt to them. Pathogens will always be able to take advantage of deoxygenated cellular terrains and malnourished immune systems that are suffering from oxidative stress and poor nutrient absorption. The hope of herd immunity will come many years down the road only if the most compromised improve their immune systems. Because SARS-CoV-2 is in the family of coronaviruses, it is ultimately a rapidly evolving type of virus that will continue to find new ways to gain entry into human hosts. Because of this, the threat will never be completely eradicated from existence. Therefore, herd immunity will be an elusive goal to attain, even if there were effective vaccines. Coronavirus, influenza, and a vast array of respiratory infections will continue to infect people and exploit the weakest immune systems. Over 30 mutations were identified in the first few months after governments locked people down. At least 5 serious mutations have been identified in countries around the world since then. If vaccines are so important for ending this infectious disease, why wouldn't a series of vaccines be necessary for each new strain? Government cannot vaccinate their way out of this health crisis. Civilization today is densely populated with immune-compromised individuals who are susceptible to complications from various respiratory infections. In order to obtain herd immunity in any single respiratory pathogen, the most susceptible subset of the population would have to drastically improve their health, nourishing their bodies with antioxidants to help protect against oxidative stress and preserve the surveillance proteins on the surface of their immune cells, especially in their lungs. In addition to the most susceptible subset of the population, we need to improve their body's ability to absorb nutrients and eliminate routine consumption of processed foods, antibiotics, and antacid drugs that diminish their intestinal villi, the good bacteria in their gut, and the fortitude of their gut wall. Notwithstanding, the weakest would need to increase their intake of superfoods, nutrient-dense herbs, vitamin D, vitamin C, and minerals to help strengthen their T-cell antibody response and the innate surveillance immune molecules. When the most susceptible portion of the population is minimized and the health of the general population improves, then populations will have a better chance of achieving herd immunity to SARS-CoV-2 and its mutations. The crisis that the world faces is larger than the name infectious disease itself. The science on how to improve cellular health, reduce inflammation, improve lung function, and enhance T-cell viability is abundant. But none of these measures are encouraged, incentivized, or mandated. Instead, the population is given a false hope of continued and repeated vaccination with new threats to turn America's children into experimental guinea pigs for endless dependence of mRNA software upgrades on their cells.
Yes, Lou, and there's another article here from Natural News, February 12th by Ethan Huff. The headline, Move Aside, Big Pharma. Big COVID is a trillion-dollar industry, and those who profit from it will make sure COVID never goes away. And just a little of that, the mainstream media is now openly signaling to the world that the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, is here to stay because of all the money it brings in for the elites. On February 7th, the Wall Street Journal published a piece entitled, As COVID-19 Vaccines Raise Hope, Cold Reality Dawns, That Illness is Likely Here to Stay. That basically confirms what we've been saying all along, that getting vaccinated for the Chinese virus will not bring back the old norms. And so the idea here is the headline, Coronavirus is about to make you poor and them rich. So this new and potentially lucrative COVID-19 industry, according to the Wall Street Journal, that is emerging from all this includes the manufacturers of masks and companies that make air quality monitoring devices, filters, diagnostic kits, and new drug, quote, treatments. So we can see what is happening there. Even meatpacking plants are getting in on the action by replacing their human workers with robotic arms, which they say will curb the risk of outbreaks by reducing the number of workers on assembly lines. Now, we can see this is furthering another agenda, Lou, isn't it? Taking away human jobs and bringing on the artificial intelligence whole
yes,
business.
Yes, that's just right.
Yes, and now we move on to a very important article. This is... oh, Lou, we're still walking through the insane asylum. Look at that flat-screen TV.
Yes.
Took away what I was going to talk about. There is a conference going on with the Voice of Sanity, and they can't keep her off every platform, no matter how hard they try. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. This is a voice of sanity in this asylum, and this is an article from Natural News, February 5th, by Cassie B., doctor with bioweapons expertise calls COVID-19 vaccines weaponized medicine. While some doctors are encouraging people to get in line for their COVID-19 vaccine, others are bravely speaking out about why rushing to get an untested shot might not be such a good idea. Dr. Lee Merritt, a former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, has admitted that she believes the current coronavirus vaccines are actually very dangerous bioweapons that are being deployed against the population. Dr. Merritt knows plenty about bioweapons, having studied them while she served as an orthopedic surgeon for the United States Navy for nearly a decade. She has also published several peer-reviewed papers and was on the board of the Arizona Medical Association. In an interview with The New American, Dr. Merritt said that she believes we're living in a time of fifth-generational warfare, where covert biological agents, propaganda, and economic warfare are being used instead of weapons on the battlefield to turn the tide of power between nations. She said that vaccines are most effective when they are used for deadly, untreatable viruses like polio and smallpox. However, scientists have already found some promising coronavirus treatments, such as hydroxychloroquine and intravenously delivered vitamin C, which makes one wonder why a vaccine is so urgent. She stated, if we are at biowarfare right now as part of this multidimensional warfare, if you have a treatment in your back pocket, they cannot terrorize you with viruses. And that's important because the vaccine doesn't prevent transmission by their own admission. Of course, the media regularly censors information about effective ways to prevent and treat the disease, leaving the masses to believe a vaccine is the only option. Social media is also doing its best to silence those who share information about natural ways to reduce your risk. And the major platforms are also working overtime to stop people from discussing the potential dangers of these vaccines. COVID-19 vaccines are nothing like traditional vaccines. Unfortunately, as she points out, coronavirus vaccines are nothing like the vaccines we have long used. With these vaccines, messenger RNA is injected into people's bodies, which changes their genetic code. So they start producing their own modified version of the virus, which the immune system learns to fight, at least in theory. However, not only has this particular vaccine never been tested over the long term, but this entire approach to vaccination has never undergone long-term studies to prove its safety in humans. Animal studies have shown an, quote, antibody-dependent enhancement, end of quote, that sees the virus making its way into the body undetected because a person's immune system sees it as being part of the body, she says, which can cause swift death. In fact, she says that the longest they have ever followed people after getting the vaccine is 2 months, which is not nearly enough time to determine if there will be an antibody enhancement problem. This, she says, is precisely how a foreign adversary would go about waging clandestine biowarfare on its enemies without the process being traced back to them. She calls the vaccines a perfect binary weapon, saying There's no way I know exactly what that mRNA is programmed to, and neither do you, and neither do most doctors. The doctors can't get at that data. That's for the guys at the very top of this project. If I were China and I wanted to take down our military, I'd just make an mRNA that I know doesn't exist in nature, so nobody's going to die from a vaccine, and then 2 years later, I release whatever it is that I made, and it causes the immune enhancement death. When you see all the footage of people proudly rolling up their sleeves to get the coronavirus vaccine, it's pretty scary to think of what might happen if Dr. Merritt is right and the masses are willingly being injected with a form of weaponized medicine. Sources for this article include WakingTimes.com and DrLeeMerritt.com. Again, it's WakingTimes.com, DrLeeMerritt.com. And we also ask all of you to pray and to warn your family members and friends. They have a choice to make. We're not telling them what choice to make, but tell them about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. You can just go there on your little smartphone. You can hear our last program, which was Judgment Day, February 11th. You can hear soon. It will be uploaded very shortly, February 18th. And that is the present program. And I'm sure that we are going to have to continue part of this probably next week. We're getting into the tyranny aspects now that are connected with all of this. And we have Tony Blair. Inevitable global vaccine passport should be implemented now. And as I'm saying those words, we're moving down the hall of the insane asylum to the secret doors. They're big metal doors. And behind it, this tyranny probably is being planned. All the vultures gathering over the COVID-affected populace. Now Bill Gates, intrepid entrepreneur of the trust stamp, and this trying to fight the sun by putting particulate matter up there. We know it's been being put up there for 30, 40 years. We don't know how long, but Lou and I watched the movie Tender Mercies with Robert Duvall, an old video we had. And Lou says, by gosh, Lou, Elizabeth. And I said, yes, Lou, there they are. The chemtrails were there. So how long have we been being experimented on? Certainly as far back as when I wrote my books, Patriot's Warning books, Chaos and Chemtrails, the second one, and that was written in 2002. It was published in 2004. So anyway, Bill Gates says he's doing something new, but he also, this is more apropos to what we're talking about, besides the trust stamp passport, and that's being worked on with MasterCard, he called for a global response force for future outbreaks and pandemics. Does that give you the creeps? It does me. Lou, you know, this idea of Bill Gates with the force, the world force, you know, it's really something. This may be coming, and it was really something to think that those chemtrails were there. We mentioned about Tender Mercy, that movie so long ago in the 1980s where we saw chemtrails. But this new thing that Bill Gates is doing with the sun, I don't know whether there's some difference. But at any rate, we can see it's very important to find out what's going on with this force, this kind of a force. Is there an embryonic beginning? You have something important now, an article from a paper in Maryland.
I do. This brings it home to us. This was dated Friday, February the 11th. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced that he would meet Friday, February the 12th, with Biden at the White House. Hogan also announced Thursday, February 11th, that the state was instructing counties to hire or appoint equity officers to try to address vaccine hesitancy issues. Some communities, including African Americans, and some political conservatives are seeing reluctance to get the COVID vaccines. Some of those hesitancies stem from historical or contemporary distrust of the government, while others are rooted in anti-vax sentiments and worries about the rapid development of coronavirus vaccines. The state is also opening a new COVID mass vaccination center at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, and plans to have a large centers to administer vaccines open on the Eastern Shore as well as southern and western parts of the state next month. The state already has mass vaccination centers manned by National Guard troops and medical staff open at Six Flags American Amusement Park in Prince George's County and the Baltimore Convention Center. The new vaccination center will open at M&T Bank Stadium, the Baltimore Ravens home stadium, on Thursday, February 25th.
And didn't you hear, Lou, that Cuomo in New York, the similar things are happening. Some of these big auditoriums or big amphitheaters, they're being used for in preparation for this.
Yes, and some of the big outdoor stadiums as well. That's right.
This has to be of great concern. These equity officers, are they part of an embryonic part of this? Well, we move on now. We're looking in the beginnings of the tyranny section, and next week we will be continuing in the insane asylum part three, because it's very important to check out this tyranny, not just here, but across the globe. Vax secrecy. Some COVID-19 vaccine sites are keeping their location secret until patients make an appointment. This was Natural News, February 5th, Cassie B. Public distrust regarding the COVID-19 vaccine is already quite high, and the way that some areas are handling the vaccine's administration is not doing much to quell fears. Some vaccination sites are being very secretive about their location, only providing their address to people who have appointments. In some cases, they are not revealing where they are until just 15 minutes ahead of patients' appointments. CBS 13 Sacramento recently reported that UC, and of course that's the University of California, Davis, Student Health Services is keeping the location of some of its vaccination sites a secret as demand outstrips supply. Dr. Cindy Schwartzman, who works for the health services, said, "We say we have your dose ready. Get here within 15 minutes. That doesn't give recipients much time to prepare, but perhaps they are worried that too much time for reflection may give people second thoughts about moving forward with the risky vaccine. Convincing people to get the vaccine won't be easy." That's another headline in this article. Convincing people to get the vaccine, with more than half of Americans saying they either want to wait and see how the vaccine performs and what kind of side effects people experience before getting a vaccine of their own, or that they plan to refuse it altogether. In fact, it wouldn't be surprising if stories like these are an attempt to to make things go ahead. And so, actually, we've brought you some of the cases here that were so important of people having side effects, but we move right on now to another article from Natural News by Lance D. Johnson, January 5th. Dr. Paul Offit demands mass vaccination events as medical communism descends upon America. It sounds like the big stadiums, doesn't it, Lou?
Very much.
That headline does.
Yes.
It looks like things are materializing.
Yeah.
And this was talking about fake news. CNN brought on one of their favorite vaccine propagandists, Dr. Paul Offit, to push for mass vaccination events across the United States. These mass vaccination events could be rolled out in every community across the country as soon as possible. And Offit is the director of the Vaccine Education Center and professor of pediatrics in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And he sits on the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And we have to talk again about that CDC. Lou, you saw it first at the entrance way, the gate. It looks exactly like a tombstone.
It sure does. It looks exactly like it.
Yes. And now this headline here in this article says, "Millions of Americans are rejecting the shots. Distribution of coronavirus vaccines has occurred at a historic pace, with nearly 12 million doses delivered in just 2 weeks, thanks to Operation Warp Speed. Most of the doses have been distributed to hospitals and long-term care facilities for use in nursing home patients and frontline health care workers. Even though 12 million doses have been distributed to the states in record time," and of course this was January 5th, only 2.8 million Americans have elected to receive the first dose. The government initially projected that they would put 20 million doses in Americans' arms by year's end. But as millions of people rejected the shots, the original vaccine plan has been disrupted. Public health officials are so desperate to vaccinate a majority of Americans, they are now calling vaccine hesitancy a public health threat. Did you hear that, Lou?
I did, yes.
It's as if informed consent no longer matters, the article
right.
says. Individuals are lumped into a collective category, a priority group, and told to vaccinate as a herd. As millions of Americans reject the shots, Offit demands for mass vaccination events that would mobilize federal, state, and local resources to round people up and get the job done. So it can't be like getting a flu shot where you walk into CVS when you can, Offit said. There has to be these mass vaccination events. Offit clearly does not want people to make their own decisions with their health. He wants the government to forge partnerships with private industry to coerce people to take the experimental jabs. This coincides with the mobile vaccine units that are planned to deploy across the country under a potential Joe Biden administration. Of course, this was written before we knew that Joe Biden probably is locked into place. And this headline, Americans may be forced into medical communism. And the article said Joe Biden is already calling for mobile units to be brought into the hard-to-reach areas so more people get inoculated. Future stimulus packages will set up the infrastructure to mass vaccinate the population. A Democrat-run Congress would continue to rob American taxpayers at unthinkable levels, passing trillions of dollars in stimulus to employ armies of contact tracers and vaccination squads while setting up long-term infrastructure to ensure that people adhere to all the shots required by the new medical police state. This level of force will be done in the name of keeping us all safe, even as the country is destroyed from the inside out and converted into a communist dictatorship, where the right to worship, travel, and gather is persecuted, where the free economic system is controlled by central economic planners. The new communist dictatorship will ensure that individuals no longer own their own bodies. Parents are being trained to give up their rights to decide what's best for their children. America is heading down a dark path, and people like Dr. Paul Offit are cheering it on with the full force of the CDC subjecting individuals to coercive mass experiments. This cannot stand, and people in flyover country will not put up with this. And we ask you to tell others to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night, and God bless you.